Online Trading Academy's core strategy is patented and built on the timeless principles of supply and demand. Text Cairo to 57682 to learn how you can trade stocks using this patented core strategy. Text Cairo to 57682.
This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news and a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Can I get something off my chest before I get to all these news stories here?
Yes.
So when I started interning for this Everett radio station when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent me to Mariner and Sonic and Seahawk games to do post-game interviews.
That's a good gig.
It was. I didn't get paid a penny, but I didn't care. I just wanted my foot in the door. And the reason I didn't care is because I thought, well, if I can start getting to these games, I can start meeting people.
Sure.
I can start creating some stuff. So I met this guy who was a student at the University of Washington named Scott, and he did Husky football play-by-play for the campus radio station KCMU. And he said, I heard you're going to the University of Washington next fall. He goes, would you like to be my color man? I go, yes, I would love to.
Nice.
And so, and then that was his senior year, and then the next year I became the Husky football, basketball, baseball, play-by-play guy for the little student campus radio station.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Now, did this guy, when he offered you to be the color commentator, he assumed he heard you, right?
He had seen me. Yeah, he was going.
That's kind of a big ask.
Yeah, he had seen me, how I was carrying myself. I'm 17 years old.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
And it was just very, very nice. So, and that radio station was KCMU. And KCMU, you can hear to about the dorms, and you could barely get it at Husky Stadium. But the cool thing was, in this old elevator, there was this great guy who ran the elevator at Husky Stadium, and he worked at the Kingdome. His name was Cale Campbell.
Mm.
Cale Campbell's the friendliest human being alive. He had been a teacher at Ballard High School when my brother went there. And Cale, something had happened to his right arm. So his arm was permanently in a sling. So that was the physical characteristic, but the human characteristic is he was just one of the most vibrant, positive, wonderful guys I'd ever met. And he was the elevator operator at Husky Stadium, and they couldn't get Como AM radio in the elevator, so everybody in the media got to listen to my little play-by-play broadcast.
Nice.
As they were going up and down on little dinky KCMU radio. Okay, so fast forward to 2018. KCMU's long gone. It became KEXP. This public
yes.
radio station.
Which is now very popular.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Every single story. Seattle Times hasn't written about the most popular radio talk show in Seattle ever. Never. But I see KEXP stories. If I'd stayed at KCMU and then gone on to play folk music for an hour every weekend on this KEXP, Seattle Times would be drooling all over me. But I can't get a word of ink out of these guys now. Just because
every once in a while when they want to do something a little negative.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, let me get to my point here. Last week, I have to go under the knife, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm recuperating and I'm keeping up on the news. And I saw that an anonymous donor gave KEXP $10 million to keep it going. And here's the thing. I'm here every day for 23 years for our listeners. Somebody has to give me $10 million. If you can give it to that station that I used to work for, why in the world wouldn't somebody give it to me?
Well, first of all, you're asking for it to be donated specifically to you?
Yes.
No, in this case of KEXP, someone donates to the station so that they can continue. You just talked about how it was this little podunk thing. And now, I mean, and it's almost died a few times. And it's, I mean, if you had stayed there, you would have had some really lean years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's almost like this little, little engine that could story. And someone's...
But
you're just asking straight out, you want someone to donate $10 million to you because...
To me.
Of what?
Because, here's why, Ursula. Do their kids ever go see them? The people who are listening? Do your kids call you every day? Do they stop by? Do they say, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, just want to see how you're feeling? No. You know who cares about you? You know the person who visits you every single day for 3 hours? I could be doing a lot of other better things with my life than sitting and hanging out with you for 3 hours. But I do it because I love. And here I am for 3 hours a day.
Just based on love, you want that
sitting,
$10 million.
Sitting in their home, sitting by their bed, wherever they want me. Wherever they want me. I'm here for 3 hours a day for them, being their companion, being with their lousy, good-for-nothing kids won't be in their life. And yet the kids are going to inherit the estate? Or should your daily radio pal, Dore, get a chunk of it? Don't, I'm serious. Now that I've explained it, wouldn't that be fair? Doesn't that just sound right?
No.
Well, okay.
No.
I'd like everybody, especially the infirmed, don't pay any attention to Ursula there, okay? I'm the one, and just, you can redo the will. The kids will be ticked off, but they, come on. So somebody should leave me 10 mil. That's all I'm saying. After I saw that KEXP story, I just think that'd be fair.
Ah. Are you still taking the painkillers right now?
No, I'm clean.
Did you plan that rant in bed?
No. I just saw this KEXP story again. Annoying to him. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15... I saw something that a local government agency is proposing that I think I'm for. Did you see what Seattle Parks is proposing for the Burke Yeoman and other bike trails?
Sure did.
They're thinking about opening it up to electric bikes that and they would cap the speed limit at 15 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I'm for this makes me feel like an incredible wussy wimp.
Why?
Remember when I would ride my bike to work in the summertime?
Yes.
You know, it was 10 years ago.
Sure.
I love riding my bike to work in the morning. You know, getting up at 7:30, getting on the trail, doing prep at home, getting on the trail. Because the trails, I can ride from my house to the Burke Yeoman in, 4 minutes. Get on the trail, ride in 7:30 to 8 o'clock. It's about an hour commute for me by bike here. And I just love riding my bike to work.
Especially on days like today.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I hate riding home. I just hate it. And this is where it sounds so wimpy to me, but I have no energy at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I know if your job is you're doing roofing or you're in crawl spaces, I know how wimpy that sounds, and I will be the first one to admit that it's wimpy. But at 3 o'clock, I don't have the energy to ride a second hour commute of the day. And I was thinking, well, I might do this. I might get one of these electric bikes if I could just whisk along the Burke Yeoman to get home.
I know.
That sounds really good to me.
I was just telling our editor, Sean, I said, I think for my birthday, I might ask my husband for an electric bike. I'll be wimpy with you.
Here's the thing. How often would you pedal it in manual mode if you got an electric bike?
As little as possible.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think I would just cruise. But it sounds so good to me. And you remember my thought a few years ago that I still think is one of the best ideas I've ever had. Instead of that stupid train track that runs along the Sound from Everett to Seattle that the Sounder train is on, they should yank that, make that a West Side bike, or not a bike trail, a scooter trail. For mopeds.
That's a good idea.
Yes. I would do that every single day.
You wouldn't be stopped by mudslides every couple of days.
And you wouldn't have to be mixing with cars, which is dead. I mean, I want to have a motorized, scooter, bike, something like that. But I don't want to ride on the streets. There are potholes everywhere. The streets
are potholes,
awful.
But anymore, I feel like there's a bit of hostility between drivers and riders. I don't know that I want to take that on.
I agree. So they should pave over the railroad track. And I know it's more than Sounder, this Burlington Northern and other stuff. But if we had a dedicated scooter trail that would get people from the north and south ends into Seattle. That's something that makes way more sense to me than a lot of these projects that we're focusing on. So,
but there are a lot of people who hate this idea of electric bikes on our trails.
Well, and I haven't had a chance yet because I was going to talk to my wife and daughters who are daily runners, and they often run the Burke Gilman. And right now, there are some bicyclists who are insane on the Burke Gilman.
Yeah, and if you happen to get close and they almost run over you, I mean, you'd feel like you've just dodged a bullet.
You have. I mean, it could kill somebody. And, you know, they're dressed in their Lycra. They're in their tuck. And they think they're doing the Tour de France on the Burke Gilman Trail.
No, they're just in better shape than we are.
Well, they are that.
I'm jealous.
They are that. But, and they, you know, they blow through every stop sign. But
yes.
I will say I've blown through a few stop signs on my bicycle on the Burke Gilman. I'm not going to be a hypocrite about that. But so anyway, I'd be curious to hear if people like this idea. But the Seattle Park says they're going. Is it a done deal?
No. So they are. They've got a pilot proposal, and so they are. Yeah, I don't believe it's a done deal, but I think they're going to do like a pilot project.
So here's what I think I would get one of those, and I would ride in manual mode in the morning, which I love and be a great workout, but I think I'd use the motor going home. That sounds
That's a nice compromise. You get the exercise going in.
Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds really, really good to me. Next up in the Fastest 15, I'm just full of good news today. I like a Seattle Parks proposal, and then I saw this story that made me happy. Most people believe it pays to be beautiful, but according to new research, the ugliest among us make more money. To which I, yes, finally I get something out of these looks. Because according to the scientific study, because ugly people are less open to new experiences, they are more likely to commit to their jobs. And that because of that, they found that the uglier people make more money than the really beautiful people.
And I read through that study and I just thought, this is the dumbest thing ever, because wasn't there just a recent study say more beautiful people make more money? I mean, and then who's, and then there was a if you're really ugly or if you're ugly, you're those are both, you know, enough to make you more money.
We just believe the studies we like, Ursula.
Yeah, but no, this is reflect. Look,
who cares about those ones?
Look at Nicole here. Nicole's beautiful young woman.
Yes,
beautiful young woman. Look at me. How could I possibly be making more money than Nicole?
You just got done asking people to donate $10 million.
I know.
And now you're talking about how ugly you are and how that's helped you make money.
Oh, I don't need the $10 million because I'm destitute. I'm doing fine. I just want it. But I mean, there's no logical, based on looks, there's no logic that I should make more money than beautiful Nicole here.
Maybe so, it's not based on looks at all.
I believe it is. Because the older I get, the more I'm making, and I look in the mirror and I see what time's doing to me. But, so there's an absolute correlation between ugliness and salary.
So are you working harder because you think you're getting ugly?
No, I just work hard.
The study says, you know, it kind of goes to that whole thing about grit, because supposedly Dory thinks he's ugly, which is, I will argue on that one too, but that you just had more grit and that you just
when will you argue
on
that? You didn't contradict a word of it when I was saying it.
No.
When are you going to argue?
Right now.
I was
waiting
you're
not
for
ugly.
You to.
No. And then the other thing is with this study, I mean, can you imagine? Okay, so who determines what is beautiful and what is ugly? I mean, there are certain things, yeah, you can agree on, but what they were saying
on.
Ugly and really ugly?
Well, we can all determine that. We all know.
I just think that's ridiculous.
We all know who's beautiful and who's ugly. You just look at them. Just give them a once over. Crying out loud. Next up in the Fastest 15, I don't know how much of this I'm going to have time to play, but I woke up this morning, I think it was about 5 a.m., flip on the old tube, and the President of the United States, Donald Trump, he's calling into Fox and Friends, which is the top-rated morning cable news show. And I got to tell you, it was crazy. Have you heard?
He was yelling. He was just off
he
the
was
rails.
100 miles a minute talking.
He sounded like he was on some uppers.
Yes.
But, you know, he claims that he's drug-free, but it just, it was crazy.
But you know who loved it?
Oh, the host.
Yeah. Hello. And it's been getting so much mileage today.
Oh, absolutely. And it's an intriguing show, this Fox and Friends, because the hosts, none of them are the smartest person in the world. They're not even close. But and Trump loves them.
Oh, sure.
He loves that trio. So he called in. Today is Melania's birthday.
Have you decided on, or do you want to tell us what you got her?
Well, I better not get into that because I may get in trouble. Maybe I didn't get her so much. I'll tell you what, she has done. I got her a beautiful card. You know, I'm very busy
at this
to be
point.
Running out looking for presents, okay? But I got a beautiful card. There's some beautiful flowers, and she did a fantastic job with France. I'll tell you what, the people of France.
When you're married to Donald Trump, his presence is his present. Let's see. They talked. Oh, they asked him what grade, because they all those hosts went to the White House after he was nominated. No, not after he was installed as president, inaugurated. I can't think of the word. Nominated and installed, inaugurated. And they asked him then. So that was about a year ago. 15 months ago, what grade he would give himself. So where is he today with that question?
Look, I'm fighting a battle against a horrible group of deep-seated people, drain the swamp, that are coming up with all sorts of phony charges against me, and they're not bringing up real charges against the other side. So we have a phony deal going on, and it's a cloud over my head, and I've been able to really escape that cloud because the message now, everyone knows it's a fix, okay? It's a witch hunt, and they know that, and I've been able to message it. I would give myself an A+. Nobody has done what right. I've been able to do, and I did it despite the fact that I have a phony cloud over my head that doesn't exist. It was what the Democrats used to try and make an excuse for their loss of an election, for their loss of the Electoral College that they should never lose, mm-hmm. because the Electoral College is set up perfectly for the Democrats, and this was an absolute total beating in the Electoral College. They should never lose the Electoral College, and they did, and they got swamped.
But does it make you want to talk to Mueller and put an end to it? Does it make you want to talk to him?
So it goes on. But he's still talking about the election, which was a year ago last November in the Electoral College, and then he went on about fake news.
I got 306, and she got, what, 223? So right. remember, there was no way to break 270. I heard right. that on CBS and NBC and ABC. They're all fake news. I heard that for so long and
right.
CNN. But I
even the host is trying to cut him off. Even the host of the most doting show in America for him say, okay, we've heard enough of this.
Hey, he's just getting
so long,
started.
There is no way. So what they're trying to do is suppress the vote. Everyone goes home and says, you know, I really like Donald Trump. But I've watched on the news, and they don't know it's fake news. I've taught them it's fake news. I've watched on the news that he can't win. So let's go to a movie, darling, and then we'll come home and we'll watch.
Find out in the midterms whether they go with the darling home to the or they go to the movies.
But I think
let's talk about
do better than people think in the
Mr. President.
You know, it's very,
right.
The economy is so strong and jobs are so good that I think we're going to surprise. You know, we won an election yesterday in Arizona. Nobody talks about it. They had these massive booths set up for CNN and everybody. They had these big booths set up because they were hoping, you know, they spent a fortune on the Democrat. And the Republican won. Let's go.
Doesn't he sound like he's hepped up on goofballs?
He went on for, this is 30 minutes.
Oh,
he talked
yeah.
to them, and they barely got a word in. He talked for 30 minutes.
And at the end of the interview, the hosts are saying, well, we're about out of time. And I'm thinking, it's the president of the United States, and he's giving you gold. It's goofy gold, but it's gold. You cut off the president. We're almost out of time. No, you blow out every commercial break.
Absolutely.
And you let him, Fox Murdoch, he can handle a few discrept spots if they blew out the commercial break. So I'll play more of this later in the show. It was it was crazy. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Ursula's going to check the news, and then we're going to get you a national perspective on the local craziness. That's coming up next.
man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
Well, it's an issue we have been talking about an awful lot lately. That is the city council plan to tax the biggest businesses in Seattle to funnel the money to, they say, homelessness. I say to labor unions and people who have made really sad choices about their life on the street. I want to get you more of a national perspective on this. The Tax Foundation at taxfoundation.org, they have been looking at this proposed Seattle business tax, and Nicole Kading is their director of special projects at the Tax Foundation. Hey, Nicole, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me today.
So why did you guys decide to dive in on this Seattle tax proposal?
At the Tax Foundation, we're the nation's leading tax policy think tank. So we study tax policy issues at the federal level, at the state level, and at the local level. And in particular, when we heard about this tax over the last several days, we wanted to make sure to provide some analysis and research because it's such a unique proposal. It's something that very few cities and counties do throughout the country.
And the ones that have done it at a fraction of the level that's being proposed in Seattle. That's the other thing my research has showed.
Big difference. So the tax in Seattle functionally is about $540 a year per employee. In the few other jurisdictions that have similar taxes, places like Pennsylvania or Chicago, they're at much, much lower rates. So, for instance, the tax in Chicago, which was repealed recently by Democratic Mayor Rahm Emanuel in the city, was at $48. The max tax in Pennsylvania is at $52 a year. So we're talking about a tax that's almost 10 times as large as it is in other jurisdictions.
Yeah, more than 10 times. Yeah, Chicago worked out $4 a month per employee, 48 a year, and they're proposing more than 10 times that here in Seattle. And so in Seattle, Nicole, they just passed a soda tax because they want people to drink less soda. That was their stated mission. We want you to drink less soda, so let's put a tax on soda. Doesn't a jobs tax have the same effect?
I think it will, and in fact, Seattle used to have one of these taxes. I don't know if these people remember this, but in 2009, Seattle repealed a tax that was at $25 a year, so 20 times, smaller than this. And it was repealed in 2009, ostensibly, according to the then mayor, because of the impact it was having on employment in the city. So I think this is definitely a concerning proposal in Seattle, and hopefully the city council will decide not to actually implement it.
Well, yeah, and that was Greg Nichols, and he said that there was a recession when they repealed it, but economies run in cycles. And if cities make all kinds of future, not just spending decisions, but decisions about taxing business, if they make that decision during a boom time, I can shudder to think what's going to happen when we have an inevitable economic cycle downturn around here.
I think that's a large risk. And I also just think about the city in general. Much of the revitalization over the last, couple decades has been because of the emergence of the strong tech sector. And the tech sector is, of course, the largest employers in the city. And this has been much of the conversation that the city council wants to tax these tech businesses. But all you're going to do is encourage them to locate in other places in the country. $540 is an immense tax burden on every single employee that these businesses hire.
Yeah, if you have 100 employees, we're looking at $54,000 a year that company would have to write to the city. And there are many of these companies have more than 100 employees. And a lot of them, and this is the other thing that makes no sense to me, Nicole, but I'd like to get your thoughts. This is a tax, or the businesses affected, it's based on their gross sales of $20 million or more. Gross doesn't equal net. And if you're operating on a thin margin, then and then the city says you have to write us a check for $500,000, that can tip some businesses from profitable to unprofitable.
Well, could, and $20 million seems like a lot of money, but it's actually, those are still fairly small businesses. And what you're really doing is putting up a large impediment to startups that are in Seattle, businesses that haven't even reached profitability yet. Forget companies that were profitable that makes this not profitable. It can take years or you know, a decade for a small business, particularly in the tech sector, to reach profitability. And this is just one more impediment that the city council would be throwing up in front of them.
Well, and would this be, because I believe we have one of the most radical city governments in the United States, would this be the most radical business tax or head tax that you guys have ever seen?
It would be the largest that I am aware of, though I think they're in every jurisdiction, particularly in large metro cities. There's lots of unique ideas that get floated, but this would definitely be the largest head tax that I'm aware of.
Okay, but your guys' analysis, this would be a job killer. I mean, let's face it, Rahm Emanuel said the $48 a year in Chicago was a job killer. So $540 per worker per year, that'd be 10 times the job killer, I would imagine.
I think that many of the businesses in the city of Seattle would think twice about expanding their labor force in the city.
Yeah, we've already heard from Home Street Bank, from Safeway and Albertsons. They've all said that they're going to have to get out of the city if this happens. And, man, I tell you, when that economic down cycle occurs, this place is going to be set up for disaster because of all the stuff they're pushing through, you know, between $15 an hour and flexible scheduling and proposing a head tax on business. I tell you what, Nicole, you guys will have a lot to talk about back there about how Seattle taxes led to the destruction of a city, whatever the economic cycle turns down now.
There is never a dearth of local tax proposals for us to to study and research and to hopefully suggest city councils not move forward on.
Well, we always appreciate your work, taxfoundation.org. Great analysis always. And I appreciate you coming on with me, Nicole. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
That's Nicole Kading. She's the director of special projects at the Tax Foundation. So there you go. That is a national perspective on the craziness of our Seattle business tax. And I would love to hear what you have to say about all this. You can text me at 98973 or email us. Go to mynorthwest.com, the Dory Monson Show page. Much more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls up. Thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. Industrious Office is just an amazing workspace right in the heart of downtown Seattle, right on 6th and Lenora, right where everything Seattle has to offer is on your doorstep. And at Industrious, you can start with the right size office and then scale up as your team grows. Go to industriousoffice.com/Cairo, schedule a tour, mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hi, I'm Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio. When Cairo Radio listeners miss their favorite show, they find it on demand. Maybe you should be advertising here. Give me a call and I'll help you out. 206-726-6819.
There are a lot of distressing things about this region right now. But the corruption of our public officials is the worst I've ever seen around here. You have people like, and the bold-faced lies that they will tell. Mike O'Brien, we had that audio yesterday where he told a bunch of constituents that the woman who criticized Seattle's homelessness plan because they weren't changing lives, and Mike O'Brien said, oh, she's changed her mind on the homeless encampment. She's in favor of them now. And one of the citizens wrote the woman, Barbara Poppy, and she said, no, I've not changed my mind. I still think they're bad policy. So Mike O'Brien just lied about that to constituents. You have people like Rob Johnson on the city council, another liar that we've exposed with the help of listeners. He's trying to do a radical redesign of 35th Avenue with bicycle and eliminating parking, all the usual nonsense. And he says, oh, I didn't know that the community was opposed. And then a guy I had on the show yesterday, and I have all of these documents linked up on my show page, mynorthwest.com. Guy I had on my show did a Freedom of Information Act public records request. Rob Johnson knew in December of 2016, January of 2017, that 68% of the public was opposed. But Rob Johnson was with these anti-car zealots before he got on the city council. And they got him elected, and now they want him. He's their puppet. He will do whatever they say. And if that means lying about community opposition, if it means gridlocking yet another region of our city, he will do that. Kashama Sawant, tomorrow, I've been promising this for a couple of days. Tomorrow, I'm going to have some details on Kashama Sawant's finances. Remember how she promised that she would not keep more than the average worker's salary as a city council member, which is about $40,000 a year? Wait till you hear how she's funneling her salary to her husband. Again, lucky, he's a lucky man. I'm kidding. I kid. That's what I do on this show. But we're tracking all of this stuff. And then at the state level, the state Supreme Court, I've told you how they are owned by the teachers' union. And so that McCleary decision that funnels billions and billions of dollars from you and me to the teachers' union. That's because the teachers' union made an investment in the Supreme Court justices, and now they own the Supreme Court. So anytime a decision goes before the Washington State Supreme Court, it is not ruled according to the Constitution and the law. It is ruled upon based on who the plaintiff and defendant is. And if the plaintiff is liberal and the defendant is conservative, well, that's the way the justices are going to rule. And I'll give you an example of this. Our colleague Jason Rance over at KTTH had this story. One of the Supreme Court justices, her name is Mary Yu. There are cases pending before the Supreme Court regarding the teachers' union right now, the Washington Education Association. Well, for Mary Yu, she doesn't care about showing off her bias. She spoke before the WEA Political Action Committee. Now, again, she is supposed to objectively make a decision based on the Constitution and the law about a couple of cases pending that involve the teachers' union. But she goes and speaks to the WEA PAC, which gave her a bunch of campaign dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now she goes to Political Action Committee rallies, and we're supposed to believe that Mary Yu can objectively rule on a case based on the state constitution and the law? Of course not. The WEA will prevail on every case before the Supreme Court because they have bought our state Supreme Court, which is shameful, by the way. You know, it's funny to me how liberals say, oh, we want to get money out of politics, unless you have a major labor union that buys off the state Supreme Court. You're fine with that. I think justices like Mary Yu are corrupt hacks. If they go and speak before organizations that have given them money and that have cases that are pending or will come before the state Supreme Court. I mean, how much more corrupt can you get? And we're straining the boundaries of corruption around here. It's like Bob Ferguson. Talked about this last hour. City of Seattle has ripped off the taxpayers billions of dollars on this Move Seattle levy and other transportation thing. The streetcar that they have to shut down because it was so far over budget. There are people who are making millions and millions of dollars off these over budget projects. Would our attorney general, the highest legal authority in our state besides the courts, will he look into it? No! He'll sue the florist in the Tri-Cities who's a Christian in defense of gay marriage. But taxpayers getting ripped off billions and billions of dollars? That's of zero interest to Bob Ferguson. Why? Because he is nothing but a political hack. And that's who and what we have running this state right now. And the big lead of two is next.